Just a second. Right, can I tilt this back?
Yeah.
So
here I am.
I can do this for you if you want.
Well, so many things. Look at all these devices. There's four different
things.
I'm not sure I can do all of these things. It's nothing very complicated anyway. Let's just find my notes. How are you all? All good?
Real good.
I'm feeling a little bit nasal. I don't normally quite sound like this. You nearly didn't get me. I really, last night I was feeling so ill, but actually I feel a bit better today, so that's good. I really can't find my notes. So yeah, so somebody's been praying, I think. Just give me a second. Here we go. So, Tony said, talk about wholeness. Wholeness is kind of my obsession, you could say. I run a course called Wholeness at Woodlands Church. But I think, in all honesty, I have sort of been thinking about this subject since I was about, I don't know, about 18. So I grew up in a Christian family, and was my mum was somebody who prayed with lots of people. And she just had this sort of really alive relationship with God. And all through my growing up years, one of the things that my mum used to do really well, which I found a challenge as a parent myself, but is kind of being able to sort of say whatever was going down in life, whether it's something really trivial or something really big deal, that God was always up to something. That was just a real thing. God's always up to something. He's not like out the room while you're doing something bad's happening and running back in when you call on him. He's always actively doing something. Would you sort of witness to that? Would you say that, look back through your life and say, maybe there's been a difficulty at some point in your life. Who has experienced a difficulty and recognised, oh, God was with me in that struggle or trial? Yeah, most of us, really. What about, has anyone ever had an experience of feeling really blessed and just connected with God and feeling really thankful to God because of a blessing, like the birth of a child or something like that? Put your hand up if you feel like you've connected with God in blessings. So we connect with him in blessings and in trials. What about in just ordinariness of life? Whoever just prays, God, I just really need you today. I'm tired, or I'm weary, or this thing is happening. Just ordinariness. Yeah. And actually, the testimony of people who are followers of Jesus is that God is in all things, generally. But I think it is possible to forget it in the moment and to be feeling a little bit like, is he distracted? Is he really saying anything to me? Or is he only saying something to people who are, like, doing something important? And my encouragement for this session really is just that we recognise that wholeness, which is, what is wholeness? Wholeness is a sense of completeness and being at ease in your own skin. Do you feel at ease in your own skin? Glad to be you in your life. Do you feel a sense of power and freedom, or a bit challenged sometimes? In your workplace, how is it? Do you feel like you're always slightly on the back foot, or do you actually feel like, I'm in a place where I'm meant to be and God's with me and I'm able to minister? Are there personal areas in your life where you know you're a bit challenged? Now, if I could get you to be completely honest, which is always, a little bit hard to be completely totally open about something like this, but if I was to say, put your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to do this, but if I was to say, put your hand up if you struggle a bit with anxiety at different times in your days, in your life, a lot of people in this room would put their hand up if they were really honest, because it's so huge in our world. Psychologists and psychiatrists call this the age of anxiety. And what's really emerging, Laura's going to talk about this in the next session, is that anxiety underlies so many people's life choices, decisions, how they behave. It's huge. And if we don't tackle it, we haven't got a lot to offer the world that is desperately looking for peace. So the journey of wholeness is really about becoming the person that God designed us all to be. And what I think is that when you look at Jesus in the Gospels, I don't know if you've ever done, has anyone ever done that thing where you've read a whole Gospel from beginning to end in one sitting? Anyone ever done that? A few of you, but really I recommend it, and I'd recommend doing it in something like The Message, which is a very sort of casual, sort of chatty version of the Bible. But if you read it in one sitting, beginning to end, it takes about, I don't know, under an hour. One thing that is really clear, I think, that emerges about this character, Jesus, it's quite interesting what you see him being like. And I remember doing it one time, reading it in the book of John, and I just had this feeling that Jesus was just really okay. You know, really at ease, really just, not just peaceful in a holy way, like trying really hard, or joyful in the Lord, even in suffering. It was this kind of at-easeness in him that really struck me. And there are a few times in the Gospel of John where things happen, where the crowd turns on him, and it says things like they pick up stones to chuck at him, and it sort of says, but he passed through the crowd. You know, it's this kind of thing, these big things that would really, I mean, imagine. That would do your head in, wouldn't it? If you went to work and everyone got a bit fed up with you and they picked up stones to throw at you, that wouldn't be a good day at work, would it? But Jesus just kind of, you know, be able to cope with these things. And I think there's something for us there. I think, you know, do you think that could be you? At ease, happy to be you. Not struggling constantly with anxiety, not, say, flipping out, maybe a temper not overtaking you and ruining everything. You know, for some of us it's that, for others of us it's kind of like you're aware, oh, I don't know, I just check out a lot of the time, or I close down, or, you know, just when the moment when I feel like I could step up and say something or be something, it's like, oh, lockdown happens, and why is it I'm not able to just be happy and confident to be me? Why can't I access that stuff? And I think that's what the journey of wholeness is about. And I honestly believe that God intends every single Christian follower of Jesus to be the most at ease, peace-filled, joyful person in your circles, so that people look at you and they say, whatever you've got, I want it. What is it? Last night, a few people, part of a church plant called Love Bristol, which some of you guys have had some contact with through the burn things, but one of the things that happened last night, I was too ill to go to it, so it was a bit annoying, but there's some students from Bethel Church in California came, and there was a big worship evening, and they just did some worship and went out on the streets. And a lady walked past and came in and ended up chatting to one of the guys who was leading it. And she said, what is going on here? The atmosphere here is amazing. She said, in fact, I have only just arrived from London to move to Bristol. I sort of got into this area, Stokes Croft. And she said, I keep hearing that the Christians are doing something here. And she said, you could not bottle this atmosphere. It was in the thing. And I think, that is how it's supposed to be. People are supposed to be around Christians and think, oh, this feels good. So the other day, a couple of our guys were driving across the Downs in Bristol, and they were on their way. We run a little social enterprise called Love Windows, which is a window cleaning thing. They were on their way to a job, and there was a guy running, walking past, limping and hitchhiking. And they stopped and said, do you want to lift somewhere? And he said, oh, I've pulled my muscle or something. I'm running. Could you just drive me to my car? That'll be great. Thank you. Jumped in the car. And Flo and Gideon started talking to him. And they said, he said, oh, you're going to get some good karma for doing this for me. Something good will happen to you. And they just said, quick as a flash, oh, good things happen to us all the time. We're followers of Jesus. Obviously feeling feeling on it that day. And he went, and he sort of did this double take, and he said, that's interesting. I've been thinking recently, Christians are good people, and they seem to do good things, and it doesn't surprise me that you've just done that. And so they, what followed was a really interesting little conversation. And at the end of it, they said, can we pray for you, for your leg? And they prayed for him. And they prayed a bit of a prophetic prayer, and they prayed a blessing on him. And he got out of the car, and he was just so connected to them and grateful. And then he sent a message to the Love Windows website a couple of days later saying to Flo and Gideon, that prayer thing you did blew my mind. I mean, that is how it should be, isn't it? Because we've got something in us that the world wants and needs. Now, I don't know what you're sensing in your sort of area over in Waterbrook, but we feel like, and a lot of people are saying this, I think, that there's an openness outside the church that is gathering. There's a sort of sense that there's more openness than there has been. Perhaps it's to do with the crazy times we are living in, politically, financially, in every way. We are living these weird meltdown moment of the whole world. It's not just here, it's not just Brexit. It's like you look around and where was it in Venezuela yesterday? 1 million people converged on the sort of Houses of Parliament to protest against their president. And you know, we've got everything that's happening in America. It's just weird, weird times in the world. And what I think is happening is that people are losing faith in those institutions and all the things that were promising something. I really think we're post that. People are over it and they're looking for something. And a lot of people have noticed there's an openness to the gospel, which is brilliant news. And the most important thing for us then is to be ready and to actually be good news when people talk to us. So, little self-checking thing. Are you good news? How is it for you? If you were to do a bit of an internal audit, what areas of your life might you think, oh, I could do with putting myself through a bit of an MOT in that area? Sometimes in our wholeness course, we say to people, imagine you're a car. What kind of car are you? Are you kind of a sleek Mercedes, you know, everything tip-top, everything's great, you press the window buttons, they go up and down, everything's going really smoothly, you're driving on high performance, you know, in every way. Is that how it is for you? Or you're a bit of a beaten-up old thing that, you know, you've seen a few dents and, yeah, things have been sort of patched over? Are you a bit of a tank, really? And, you know, you're just kind of barging through life, totally defended and sort of, you know... What kind of car are you? Do you need to go through an MOT? Are you really struggling? You know, is it just, how is it for you? And if you were to ask, you know, just ask the Holy Spirit now, would you point out anything in me that, where I need to go through a bit of an MOT? What are the areas of my life where you are putting your finger? Am I struggling to be a peaceful person? Am I anxious? Is my anger a problem? You know, for people who find anger a problem, sometimes it's the people around them that would be saying, yes, it is a problem. But, you know, what are the things? And one of the things that we recognise on wholeness is that human beings are very needy creatures, aren't we? We need stuff. We need food, otherwise we're grumpy. We need comfort. We need to be warm. And we do, don't we? They're so basic, those things. And if we haven't got those things, we can be a little bit not ourselves. And actually, what's really recognised across the sort of world of psychiatry and understanding people and biological sort of understanding of human beings, all the way through to spiritual understandings, is that we have needs. And different people have ordered them in different ways. But a group of people a few years ago drew up a list, and they looked at all the ways that people try and treat themselves and try and make themselves feel better. And they drew up this list of what they called the human givens, which was like a list of the important things that humans need, the givens that all human beings need. And they completely agreed with all the things that we would think. So we would think that we need security, don't we? You know, it's not very nice if we're feeling insecure. So say if your job's coming to a, you know, place where you think, oh, I might lose my job, that's not very good for us, is it? In ourself. We need security. We need to feel safety and have a measure of control. We need, the other thing they recognise is that all human beings, even if you are the most grumpy, cut-off, cold person, everyone needs emotional connections with other people. That's what distinguishes us in some ways from animals, though animals need it too to a lesser degree. But there's this sort of sense we all need that, don't we? We need healthy relationships. We also need purpose. That's one of the things that scientists have really recognised, that human beings don't do well if they haven't got a sense of purpose. That's interesting, isn't it? Because there's nowhere in evolution for purpose, is there? Other than survival of the fittest. And the other thing that we recognise, and that, again, it's scientifically acknowledged that people who have a spiritual dimension to their life do better. Now, they think it's because it gives us that sense of purpose and it tunes us into things that are beyond the sort of, you know, our fleshly needs. But actually, we realise, don't we, that the Bible is really clear. We've got spiritual needs. And we are needy creatures. And in the book of Hebrews, that writer calls God the Father of our spirits. And we recognise, don't we, that, you know, not only have you been born onto this planet from your mother's womb and as a process of something biological and physical, the Bible is really clear that God was present in your conception and your growth, even in your mother's womb. Who's familiar with Psalm 139? You knit me together in my mother's womb. You were there as your eyes saw my unformed body when I was made in a secret place. Every day ordained for me was written in your book before one of them came to be. Those are amazing words. That's the Bible's teaching on reality, that every human being is made in that way with the sense of the presence of God. And so those needs are totally basic. And our wholeness is rooted in those realities, that we're made in the image of God for relationship with him, and that actually we're all imprinted with his personality. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? Imprinted with his personality, his creativity, his capacity to love. Do you know that? That you have in you, innate in you, because of God's design of you, his desire to overcome evil with good. That's in you. And you. That's totally part of your design. That when you see evil in the world, something in you wants to overcome it with good. Because you're not some random creature. You're made in the image of God, who is holy and good and loves. You're made in his image. So you might ask the question, you know, does your experience of life and relationship with God and others match up to the picture of the biblical ideal? That's a good question, isn't it? How is it going? How are you doing? And it's good to do a bit of self-checking. So one of the things that you might want to audit is your relationship with God, your sense of connection with him. Because you're made to have an ease of connection. It's not supposed to be grindingly hard to know God. Because he's put his spirit in you, and he's made a way for you to connect with him. And so wholeness looks like that, being able to worship with abandon. And not feel like, why is it everyone else in the room seems to be connecting with God, but I feel like a million miles away? You know, when those sorts of things start to happen, then we would want to think, oh, I'm not there yet on my wholeness journey. Something is lacking. So a free connection with God where we feel like he's not on our backs all the time waiting for us to trip up. One of the things I've been doing, prayer ministry and counselling for 30 years in the church. So I've got a few decades of experience of this. And one of the things I really have seen, really over and over and over again, is that many, many Christians carry this sense of God's irritated with me. He finds me exasperating because I can't quite get it. Why haven't you got it yet? All these things I've given you, all the teaching you've heard, all the Bible, why can't you just hurry up and get it and get on with the job? What's the job? we're not sure. It's helping God run planet Earth, doing the project. You know, there's this kind of all this stuff that slightly in the background. We wouldn't say, oh, I think God finds me really irritating. But how it comes out is when we struggle with something and we can't overcome it, and we think, oh, God's finding me hard going, that I can't seem to get my anger into control or my sexual urges under control, or he finds it hard that I can't witness freely and it's irritating to him. I think that's in the a sort of residual thing that's in many people's relationship with God. So there's a thing for you to check. Is that something that you think? I was talking to somebody yesterday who was high on God for 3 years, and she's just sort of slumped down. She said, oh, I'm not reading my Bible as much as I used to, and you know, it's fair enough. I feel like God's a bit irritated with me, a bit annoyed with me, and he should be, because I'm not reading my Bible enough. I mean, that's not an unfamiliar sort of thing, you know? So, but is it supposed to be like that? No, it's not. There's supposed to be a sense of connection with other people that is wholesome and holy and okay. So are you somebody who keeps on sabotaging particular relationships? You know, maybe in your family, and you think to yourself, oh, gosh, you know, it's supposed to be better than this. Why do I always fall into this? Why are we always disconnecting in this way? I can't seem to find relationships so straightforward enough. And yet that is part of the design of God, to be made in the image of God, is to be somebody who connects with other people with warmth and pleasure, relaxed around them, so that they can see the best of you. Do you know that if you're not relaxed and you're fearful when you meet somebody and you've got your guard up, all they get is a kind of flat persona, the defence mechanisms. They don't see the riches of who you are if you can't relax around other people. So there's a good reason to look at things like anxiety and the wholeness journey. The other thing we're supposed to have is a sense of identity, secure identity, so that you can, something can be threatened, like your job, or singleness can come, or a relationship can come, or not having children, or all of those hard, hard, hard things. It should be possible for us to go through those things and not feel like I'm a nobody now because I'm not able to do those things. Actually, to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, we should have a sense of wholeness in those things, because everybody goes through that stuff. Everybody finds that their lives are under pressure. And honestly, I don't think we're supposed to escape the pressure. I think what's supposed to happen is, as the pressure comes around worth and work and relationships and all those sorts of things where identity is shaken, who's supposed to emerge as okay on the earth? Us. It's supposed to look like that, that people could say, wow, you've just been through this, and how do you manage that to not feel completely done in by it? You know, how do you get that peace in this? You know, what we want is to escape the stuff so we can be peaceful. And God's saying, no, I want you to be peaceful in a storm. I want you to be able to lie down like Jesus did. Sleep in the boat while the storm is raging. That's the ideal. It's not that the storm... You know, why was Jesus slightly exasperated when he calmed the storm? I wonder if it's because that's the hope and the thing that God... The dream of God is that his people would be able to sleep in storms. And then when they stand up, they can release their own peace over a storm and calm it. Because you're supposed to carry it in you. Not supposed to be constantly craving and getting it. That's God's design for you. He's trying to get you there. Because that's what it means to be made in the image of God. And finally, the other thing is, we're supposed to have a sense of purpose and authority. Every single person in this room should have a sense of, I'm on a track with God. He has got me going somewhere. There's a purpose for my existence. It's not all about, well, I'm going to be a great preacher or anything like that. It's not about that. It's about, have you got a sense of unfolding destiny with God, that he knows you and he wants you to thrive and flourish and be powerful and free, whatever you're doing, whether you're a mother at home, whether you're a CEO of a business, it doesn't really matter. It's about whether you're on a track with God. Feeling a sense of purpose. authority when things are spinning out of control? Who are the people on the earth who are supposed to have a sense of authority? We are. You know, and things are spinning out of control, aren't they? But God is trying to cultivate in you and me all the time this sense of, it's okay, I'm here. I've got the Spirit of God in me, and we can do some stuff here. That's how it's supposed to feel. Not, you know, there's no room in a way for false humility that says, oh, I'm a nobody. That isn't kingdom theology. Kingdom theology says, I'm someone. I'm inhabited by Jesus. There's a power available to me that I'm learning to access. There is knowledge that I'm learning to access. Last night at that same event, one of our guys was standing outside and somebody walked past and he stopped them and said, oh, do you mind if I pray for you? And this young woman said, okay. And he prayed this prayer and he said, I just feel like God wants to give you a double portion of life today. Interesting prayer. She said, today I found out I'm having twins.
Wow.
That's cool, isn't it? But how about that? That's what it's supposed to look like. For us to have this sort of easy, intimate access to the Spirit of God at the water cooler in work, or wherever we are, you know, in the playground, or in at the pub, or wherever it is that this kind of like, oh, God's just said something to me. Laura's just like that. Laura's who's going to speak in the next session. She's constantly got a little stream of God saying things to her, and maybe she'll share a couple of those stories. But I think that's what it's supposed to look like. It's normal Christianity. I'm not talking about the superstars. I'm talking about us, just normal Christians. What time are we finishing the session? Half past.
I think we started a bit late, so just
okay.
Carry on for a moment.
Okay. Carry on for a moment. 1:45. Okay, fine. You've got a minute or two. And what we want to say, recognise, is like I was saying, if you read through the Gospels, all of that was just to kind of, I hope I can provoke you to be on a wholeness journey, but not because to get some peace, and that's not it. Wholeness is not just about sorting out a few things from the past. It's about becoming you, powerful, free, influential, in all your circles. That is what wholeness is about. It's the dream of God. God's dream for human beings is not to just get Project Planet Earth running smoothly. That's not it. He's not waiting for you to get on board so that you can sort a few things out, because all he wants is a smooth running earth. This whole thing is about you. Why did God make human beings? It's not totally clear, but it's written from the Bible. But something comes over in the Bible that says that he wants relationship. He wants to relate to us. He wants to know us and for us to know him. That's the purpose of being alive, is to know God, to walk with him, and for him to know us. And ultimately, you know, one day, it may be, some of you it's nearer than others, but in 20, 30, 40, 50 years' time, you're going to, this, all of this will be over, and you're going to be standing in front of God. And I say this to a lot of people that I meet up with, because I think it's really important for us to remember this. You and I are going to be face to face with God for billions of years, and it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be great. And all of the things that we see a little hint of now will be there in their fullness. All of the little hints in your own personality, the particular, peculiar traits that God has woven into you when you were made in a secret place, will be there in fullness. And you know what? You will be totally absorbed with God in the most wonderful way. You know, the prophet Nahum says he's the desire of the nations. He will be the sum of all human desires, and it will be wonderful. But do you know something else? He will be fascinated with you too. Because he will have a unique relationship with you. You will be an awesome creature who is cultivated in the soil of your life in this side of the grave. Things that will fascinate God. And he will enjoy them for all eternity. So where you've given over your heart to love him, or to overcome fear, or to forgive somebody, those things are eternal. They will last for billions of years, and they are worth investing in. And so when the journey of wholeness is hard, it is worth pushing against some of the things that stop us from fully flowering and becoming the person God meant us to be. Because those overcomings, tiny that they might seem now, you know, forgive somebody at work who's just annoying and hard to be with, is an eternal event. And the consequences of it will last for billions of years. And I honestly think the point of this bit of life is for us to grow into creatures that will fascinate God for all of eternity. That's what it's all about. All of this stuff out there, all of this was made for you to live in. That tree with that amazing blossom is for you. It's about you. That's the only reason why it exists, is because of you. Because that is the setting for you to grow in and to become whole in. And the more that you can get on that journey, the better you are. So the two things that we're going to home in on today are only two aspects of the wholeness journey. But they're worth it. And I just sort of the last little section, I just want to home in on Jesus, because he is brilliant, isn't he?
Amen.
And actually, if you just go back to that first slide, Laura. Voice will give out any minute. When this man came to Jesus and he said, he asked him this question, what must I do to get life? Inherit eternal life, he said. But for a Jewish person, inheriting eternal life was not going to heaven and sitting on a cloud. They had no real concept of heaven in that way. For a Jewish person, when you're asking that question, you're saying, what must I do to be alive? Properly alive. That's all they had, the concept of it. They didn't really have a sense of heaven. That emerged after the New Testament got written and people started to sort of realise actually the whole heaven and the new earth and all that sort of thing. But so for a Jewish person, he's saying to God, to Jesus, what must I do to be properly alive? And Jesus says this to him. He says, love the Lord. Oh, he said, how do you read it? And the man reads this, says this to God. He says, this basically he's saying, I think this is what I've seen in the law that we've been given so far. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Do you see what Jesus is doing there? That little sentence, we often don't quote that sentence, but that sentence is Jesus saying, this is eternal life. To be able to love like this, with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and others in the same way. If you can do that, you'll be alive. And, you know, the journey of wholeness is about finding a way to love freely God, like we were saying, to be able to love and worship God, but also other people. And one of the things that we recognise is that we don't do that very easily, because it's like we're wired to respond and react to the external environment. This is my final point. Sometimes we talk in wholeness about living from the inside out. And we recognise that Jesus, despite the fact that he did not have great life circumstances, did he? So shout out to me some of the circumstances of Jesus that were against him.
No home.
No home, yeah, what else? Come on, you know these things. What are the things that, you know, put Jesus on the back foot from the word go?
His mum.
Okay, so that was, nowadays that's not such a big deal. Then, huge deal. So he was illegitimate. What else?
The king was trying to kill all the babies.
Yeah, so he had like the rulers and the authorities of the whole country were trying to get rid of him and killed out all the babies to, you know, try and hone in on him. So there's that. What else was against him?
He was a Jew.
He was a Jew, okay. In why was that a problem? Because they were in.
Weren't fans of them.
Yeah.
Like they were a minority, basically.
They were and they were oppressed. They were an enslaved minority. That's pretty bad. Yeah. From.
Nazareth.
Why is that a big deal?
Nothing good comes from Nazareth.
That's true. Yeah. It's like I'm sure we've all got a place that we could think of. I won't name any names because that'd be terrible. But you know, imagine the sort of place where you think, oh, I wouldn't like to live there. You know.
He was unmarried.
He was unmarried. What else? You know, there's a few things. Things like his brothers, you know, at one point, they thought he was insane. He was teaching stuff, and they wanted to go and lock him up. That's against you, isn't it? Anything else you can think of that was against Jesus?
Pharisees and Sadducees.
Yeah, the whole religious sort of thing. They hated him.
the tax gatherers and sinners.
Yeah, he mixed with the wrong sort of people. I mean, you know, imagine if you had all of these things against you. Is there anything else? He was accused of being demon-possessed, you know, the Son of God. Perfect, sinless. They accused him of having a demon. So he had a few things coming against him. And yet, he seemed to be okay. Like I was saying at the beginning, he just seemed to be okay. And he seemed to have this sense of identity, authority, purpose, connection to God, security in who he was. He was sinless. He was free of any hold of Satan. He said that Satan has no hold on me. So his own sort of, he wasn't pulled down into the darkness by his own flesh. He was brave. He didn't give way to fear. He was able to relate to God in love and confidence and simplicity. There's this sort of sense that he's okay, even though all the external stuff was not good for him. Now, for us, the big challenge of wholeness is that we live from the outside in, not from the inside out. So if you think about it, what am I talking about?
Circumstances.
Yeah, circumstances of our lives. You go to work, something's going down. You lose it. Or some pressure is happening in your family life. Somebody who really annoys you all the time. They are your nemesis. And every time they come into the room, you crumble. You can't actually seem to be okay around them. Think of that person. Ah, Jesus was okay around the worst of people. He kept his sense of wholeness and authority. You know, I was really struck by the way he behaved in front of Pilate on his way to his execution. And Pilate sort of trying to provoke him, saying, you know, aren't you afraid? I've got the power of life and death over you. And Jesus says calmly to him, you haven't got any power other than that which has been given you from above. Mm. And then he sort of goes on, I lay down my life. Mm. No one takes it from me. Mm. I lay it down. Wouldn't you love to be like that? Yeah. In the worst of circumstances, to keep your poise and your ease and your freedom. Mm. And that is what Jesus was able to do. And that is what he has given us access to. He has given us access, a way to live from the inside out. Not from the outside in, so that the external data of the world doesn't dictate our behaviour, our feelings about ourselves, our sense of peace, our sense of authority is not dictated by the data of the world, but actually is dictated from the inside, from the deepest place. And the reason why, of course, we know this stuff, and you know it, but the reason why Jesus was like that is because of his connection to the Father in the deepest, deepest place. And this is where I want to just end with it. And I'm going to say to you that you could, this afternoon, if you've got free time, you could do a bit of an internal audit, really, of how good that connection is in the deep place with God. Because one of the things I've recognised in my 55 years of living is that there have been several milestone moments in my journey with God where I've had to sort of come back and surrender again. Do you know that thing? If in doubt, surrender. It's kind of, that's the way God seems to work, is that when something hard is happening, or you are finding yourself hard, or you're finding him hard, or circumstances hard, or anything like that, basically the answer always seems to be you've got to surrender. You've got to just come to God and say, I just haven't got, I haven't got what is needed for this situation, but you've got it. And I've got empty hands, but you've got something to put into my hands. And Jesus modelled that surrender. You know, he surrendered to God that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what he did. He was battling with the external data of the world, wasn't he? The pressure was on him. And yet in the end he said, yet not my will but yours be done. And for you, have you said that recently to God? Yet not my will but yours be done. In this thing that I'm full of anxiety about, in this thing that I can't bear about my life or myself, yet not my will but yours be done, I surrender. And I would love to just let that be the sort of ending point of this little time, of just saying, this is a time of coming to God and saying, yeah, one of many, many times that will literally be a trail of milestones in our lives, of coming back to God and saying, you know, you've got what I need. That peace, that security, that joy, that ease in my own skin, I want that. And I cannot generate it myself, but you want it for me. He does. He wants every one of you to be like shining lights. Remember those verses? Holding out the word of life. That's your destiny. Every one of you. For people to look at you and say, what is it you've got? I want it. And so my prayer, I'm going to pray now and pray. And, you know, you can hold back or not. It's up to you, you know. Actually, God totally gives us the control, doesn't he? That's just the way he is. He's never going to steamroll it over anyone. And if you want to resist him in an area of your life, you can. And he will carry on going at it with you, probably till your deathbed. But the best thing to do is to every now and again say to God, I want to surrender the whole of my life to you. In these areas, and you know what they are, there's a kind of sense for some people who, I think, you know, things like the standard things are anxiety, anger, sexual impurity. They're just things that are common to all human beings. Getting your identity out of the wrong stuff. Not being able to access peace. In all of these things, feeling like I don't know what I'm doing with my life. In all of these things, we open our hearts to God and we say, I want to live from the inside out, from my security in you. And I want to bring to these storms my peace. I want to bring to these difficulties my joy. I want to bring to these tricky relationships my ease in my own skin, so that I am not feeling on the back foot in every relationship. Does that sound like a good place to be? Good. So I'm just saying let's have a little milestone moment right now. Let's just open up to God and say, now you know where the pressure points are for you personally. So you personally, as I pray, you can bring those things to God. But really, we're choosing to find our significance and security in relationship with him. And then we're going to ask him for help to bring areas of our lives under his loving rule. And Laura, I don't know if you want to share any words or as we pray. But why don't we pray? Close your eyes if you want to. If you want to, you can put your hands out. It's a gesture that says, I want to surrender. You know, putting your hands out is like saying, look, there's nothing in them. When it comes to it, God, you've got everything, and I haven't got very much at all. Though I cling on to it, the reality is I need your life to be put into me. So, Father, we just come to you now, here in this room, on this weekend, where we have come together to seek your face, to know you more. We hear the words of Jesus saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. Do this and you will live. And we recognise that we haven't loved you with all our hearts, because some areas are locked away. And even now, we open up some of those areas of our lives. Some of them are past hurts. They're like locked doors. They're kind of like the attic where the memories of things that have happened to us are locked away in a trunk in a dusty attic. And yet, God, by the Spirit, wants to come into your home and renovate you. Invite him into the attic, into the memories. For some of us, it's the busyness of life has kind of eroded our connection to him. It's like the lid. We live all the time in the kitchen, doing stuff, totally absorbed with the everydayness of life. We've lost that sense of connection and deep love for Jesus. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, come into that area of our lives, into the busyness, right into the heart of it, and bring, by the power of the Holy Spirit, your love and connection and joy again. Come, Holy Spirit, to those of us who are Marthas in the room, who are endlessly busy. He says, sit down and listen. Open up. For some of us, we've got some big sort of rocks that are like hard places in our lives. They are things that we can't seem to overcome, an area we can't seem to overcome in. You know what they are. Why don't you just say, you know, I really feel like God takes us at our word. Sometimes I say to people, pray a prayer and say, please take me at my word, I mean it, because I'm probably going to back off from this. And I think God does. You pray a prayer, a heartfelt prayer. Please help me with this area of my life. My fear. My purity, my anger, my unforgiveness. I can't do it, but you can. I invite you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray, Father God, that you would pour out the Holy Spirit in the room now, to the deeps of these souls. These are people who have got wells in their soul that have known you and have known refreshing and known the presence in the past. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you come down into the wells and refill them to overflowing. I pray, God, that by your Spirit and your presence, you activate old connections. I just call them to life. Every connection that you've ever known with God. Every connection that, where, you know, some of you are people who used to be on fire. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that those connections, the old fiery connections, would be filled now with the fire of God again to get ready for what is coming on the earth. So come, Holy Spirit. I call into life those. Some of you are people who have known intimacy with God. You were somebody who really walked with God and you used to find the Bible really rich and enjoyable, and it's gone a bit flat. Now, in the name of Jesus, I call that to life again. The people in the room who are able to access the treasures of Scripture easily on behalf of others. Come, Holy Spirit, and I call to life the ones who are supposed to be powerful and have authority in their workplace. In the name of Jesus, I call that out of you. That is who you are. I call it to the forefront. I call to the forefront the prophetic gifts in the room. I just speak activation over prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Some of you used to operate in it and you've let it slip. And now in Jesus' name, I call it forward. Come, Holy Spirit. Laura, have you got anything?
Yeah, just stay in that place of prayer now. I'm just going to share a couple of things. On the drive here this morning at I started off and it was beautifully sunny and clear, and suddenly it was like I drove into a cloud, and then the rest of the way here was just surrounded by this cloud, and just felt like God saying, maybe there's a few people here that you felt like the way was really clear and you knew exactly where you were going in life, and it was really kind of almost had an ease about it, and then it's like you've come into this place where it's not so clear to see the way. But I just feel like it's in those moments that God's just calling you closer to him and to seek his presence. So I just really want to pray this morning just that the Holy Spirit would just come now and just reassure you with his presence, that as you lean into him, as you find him and just seek his presence, even wherever you are right now, or wherever you're feeling, whatever is going on, actually, as you draw close to him, he's going to guide you and he's going to lead you. Yeah. Father God, would you just do that by your Holy Spirit? And just the sense as well that maybe there's a couple of people here and you've built a wall. And I just sense that maybe you've built a wall to try and protect yourself. And actually, I feel there's an invitation as well that God just wants to say, you don't need that wall because you're safe. Because I'm, there's that whole thing in Psalm 23 that God is our rod and our staff and our protector and our comforter. So I just pray that if that's you, that Holy Spirit would just help you to surrender again to him. Also have the name Tom, maybe if that means anything to you. Come see me.